Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how much do you ponder your sacredness? How sacred are you? How present are you with your, let's call it holiness?
Well, you see, as a psychotherapist, I always have to translate psychology into a spiritual language. How often do I contemplate it? I don't contemplate it because I know that I have renamed the sacred in me. Therefore, I rename the sacred in all beings. I rename the sacred in the horse and in the child, in everything. Everything is waiting to be renamed from the patriarchal ideology into the soulfulness of experiencing love. And that's what it is to rename the sacred. And sacred is a sacrament. Everything I do as a sacred being is a sacrament. That is, everything is made sacred because I breathe on it, because I'm there. If I accept that I am the divine formed on the earth, as all other form is, then how can I not be sacred? How can you not be sacred?
Well, you understand that, and that's why I'm so happy to talk with you. And let me tell the audience who you are. Phyllida Annam Iyer.
I am Ira, that'll do. That's good. That's Irish, yeah.
Okay. And your book that I've loved is The Last Ecstasy of Life. And what I want to look at is that you actually are responding with something that you say in your book. And you say that we have the questions, but we aren't looking for cerebral answers. We don't even have to think the answers, we live them. So when we have the questions, like I had a question about sacredness, and you responded perfectly to what you say in your book, is that when we can own our love and our holiness, then we don't have to think it, we just own it and live it.
Well, you see, again, I don't now use the word holiness. You know, we're spiritually evolving all the time, and that has to be integral. That has to include psychology, technology, etc. So when we use the word holiness, it was a word associated with Christianity, with Islam, with a religion somehow. Jesus was holy. The priest is holy. What about me? Where do I come into all this? So nowadays I name it wholesome. I am being made into a whole being. That means that my shadow is being integrated by soul into me. And therefore I am becoming a whole being, not just a pious person.
No, well, that's perfect.
When I was a nun, I was pious. And I was holy, but I was not complete in myself. My psychology was crazy. It was an escape from the world into the convent. Now there is no escape because everything is renamed sacred.
Well, see, what's interesting is that you're coming from that experience, that life experience, that holiness represents a religious understanding. And I was actually using it as wholeness, and that's how I see it, because I don't have that religious background that you do, that you can see the difference between those two words. So it's fascinating.
Don't you think that language is changing, Peter? Don't you think that we are using language now like we didn't use back in the 50s, 60s, not even the 70s? You know, when you think of, in a sentence, we can say to a friend, you know, it is just so lovely to be with you. Thank you for opening your heart to me again today. Let us go with compassion on our roads and our separate ways. Let us take compassion into our relationship. Let us bring wholesomeness. Let us bring joy. Let us bring life itself into this body. So I believe that we have to change the language so that culture will change with it. And this is social.
Right. And your book addresses the difference between spiritual intelligence, which is, you know, we can just, you know, talk about spirituality, the difference between that and spiritual health. And so you were just describing spiritual health.
Well, the spirituality means, if you take the word, because I'm really interested in words because English is my second language, spirit, and then reality, that is the ability to be spirit on the earth, the ability to combine spirit in this form, spirituality, personality, the ability to be a person, to be a human being. And I love when we use words as sacred runes or sacred items, not the usual way we would use it in words, but in a soulful way.
Right, and the soulful way, in your book, you talk about how that helps us hold ourselves in the universal heart.
That's right. Absolutely. We're doing a lot of work now in Ireland and in Germany and Scotland, looking at the universal heart. What is it? And how can we access it? And is it always there? And how does that change the physical heart? How does that change the emotional heart, so we bring the emotions into the ordinary heart for feeling? And then what happens is the emotions become devotions in our lives through the sacred heart or the universal heart, just covering the whole space of our being, allowing it to flow into every internal organ. And that's why I have perfect health, totally perfect health, because I know that I'm sustained by this golden elixir of the golden heart, flowing into the organs, greeting them every morning. Good morning, liver. Good morning, my physical heart. Feel the flow of the universal heart just flowing through every cell in my body. And the cells are responding. They're saying, wow, Phyllida, this feels good. Let's get on with this beautiful life that you're sharing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And one thing that you talk about is shadow cells, and how we have to include our shadow cells in this heartfulness and allow ourselves to be full that way. Because if we're avoiding our shadows, then we don't have the fullness that we need.
There's no integration. You know, before, Peter, I would say, you need to let go of your fear. You need to let go of your anger. Now I'm saying, welcome them in. They need to be included in your heart. It's like my three-year-old little grandchild. When she needs something, when she wants my attention, she pulls at me and she keeps pulling at me until I give her attention. But when I invite my fear to sit beside me, let me put my arm around you. Come on into the heart. You see, the Celtic way, Peter, is to invite everything in, because we need to become neutral. You know, the heart needs to move from an emotional place into a neutral place of compassion, which has nothing to do with gender. And sometimes we call the heart her, mother heart. We say Father God, Mother God. We're still using child's language. We need to grow up spiritually. We need to get away from the gender and get into a neutrality, which is compassion with the feeling of the universal heart.
Oh, it's beautiful. And you also talk about being able to hold our egos in our heart.
Oh, I love them. They're just longing to be loved. That's the only place that's safe for it. If it's not in my heart, it's playing havoc somewhere, trying to be something and trying to be somebody.
Right.
And when it's loved, and when it's told, you know, the room is open here, the house of love is open for you. Ego, thank you for helping me to survive. Thank you. Now feel cozy in my heart, whilst the universal heart helps me to thrive totally back into the divine being that I am.
You know, your book is so full of beautiful poetry. And
remember, I'm Irish. That's about being Irish. We're all poets in Ireland. We see things soulfully. We just see out of the eyes of the soul all the time.
Well, you're doing a good job. And I just, there's this one beautiful poem that's early in the book. And it's, can I read it? It's short.
Please. Yes, of course.
It's sure, search not for happy, but have a heart to swim in the waters of your lost self. When you have learned to dive under the waves of your own tears, you will have reached the shore of joy.
Mm.
That was so, and that's really what we were talking about with the ego and with our shadows. They can catch us up. And so we limit ourselves that way. But you're talking about diving in and loving every part.
That's right. Every part of me is holy. You know, we are told when the God created the universe, the God said, everything is good. Everything is good. You know, every hair on my head is important. So how important is my heart and my liver, my womb? How important are the testicles? How important is every single cell in my body that's creating either health or ill health because of the way I'm creating in my mind? So creating joy, being in the joy, living the joy because I have invited the shadow, which is the opposite to joy. I've invited them in together so there is no duality. There is this oneness and conscious unity within myself.
Well, what I hear from that is the duality between the perfect and the imperfect needs to be integrated.
Absolutely.
Because it's the imperfect that our egos get involved with. And I remember years ago interviewing a face reader and talking about all these things. We look in the mirror and there are all these things in our faces that we don't like. And she said, no, you don't understand that those things that you think you don't like actually represent the greater part of you.
We've learned to not to like ourselves. That's a learned conditioned reflex almost.
Yeah, but it comes from others too. You know, people who question our eyebrows or our noses or,
well, that's their opinion and that's lovely and they're entitled to that, but maybe that's a way of escaping looking at themselves. It usually is.
Well, yeah, it's just the way of differentiating so our egos are happy. And you know, it's but the whole thing I got out of that and talking with you really expresses it, that every part of us, no matter how, you know, we might question, actually might be a great benefit, and we can turn it into a benefit if we understand that there is nothing wrong.
Name it sacred, put it on the altar, bow to it, light a candle to that part, bow to it, light a candle. Thank you for helping me to survive. Thank you.
Yeah.
Always gratitude to the whole being, not just to the part that's beautifully elevated as it thinks itself elevated, but to, you know, to the first three energy centers or wells of grace, as we call them in Irish. I think that's beautiful. The first three energy centers have tried to help us to survive. Now, what a friend is that? So that I wouldn't be hurt, so that I wouldn't have to look at the past, keep escaping into drink, keep escaping into sex, do something so you don't have to look at what's really hurting you. It's not that person, sweetheart. No, it's not. It's the messages I got earlier on in life that have formed into that other being to bring me back the message that I need to look at that.
Right. And in your book, you say that, can we bow to the teaching of all things?
Yes,
and that's the hard things as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
It's the fullness. The whole idea is that we're here for a fullness teaching.
Full works or nothing. Extremist living. The fullness or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so beautiful to understand life through those eyes, because we all have such critical eyes in and we have to bow to that.
Bring that in as well. Bring that in and see it made holy in ourselves. See it made sacred. Yeah, by not even judging that. Not even to judge my judgment. Oh.
Right, because we are always doing the best we know how.
That's right. That is the truth. With the knowledge we have. And then this time next year, we'll have learned something else, another lesson that will add to the wise Dominie in me, the wise God in me, so that I can, you know, find this amazing evolution in myself, the spiritual evolution from calling God Father to saying, here she is, here she is, look at her.
You know, and what I, you know, I don't want to say that being older is better, because there are so many wise young people in this world today. But for you and I, we've had many opportunities, because we're very close in age. We've had many opportunities to bump around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You see, the wisdom comes from experience. And I know that I have a lot of beautiful young friends, and I sit and I just lap them up. I just love to hear what they call wisdom. And it's wisdom for their time. And they must be allowed that what we call infantile wisdom that says, well, I'm just going to go out and do whatever I like because that's what I want to do. And my wise heart tells me to do it. Then do it. I'm always saying, go out and do it. There is a time for everything. Know your timing. You know, if they don't do it when they're young, they'll start doing it when they're 40, or they'll start doing it when they're 70 and they can't accept that I'm growing old. I still want to climb Mount Everest. You know, this kind of unfinished business from youth appears in later times as a foolishness.
Yes. But, you know, while you're talking, I was thinking of my younger granddaughter, who's in 2 days will be 2 years old. And recently I was visiting, and I guess she saw something in me that needed something. And it was the first time that she's done this, because she's just getting her body in order to do things that she feels. And she just rushed at me and jumped up and gave me this giant hug. And it was so deep and gratifying. And I'm thinking, wow, she really knows something. She knows what I need. And then more recently, one evening, I was struggling with some family problems and in bed, and I just was trying to get to sleep. And I said, what could put me to sleep? And I pictured my granddaughter in that hug, and it just totally helpful. So these wise ones come at any age.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, I'm being taught a lot by my 3-year-old grandchild and my 11-year-old. They're amazing beings. They're amazing beings.
Yes, I know. I'm so happy for that. But it's all right now. I want to come back to the whole idea of self and how to be in self and really appreciate presence. And how do we listen? How do we hold others? How do we hold nature? But and presence is simple.
Well, my question is, how can I listen to others and be present for others if I have not listened to my own heart? Have I been present to Phyllida? Have I been faithful to Phyllida? You know, we were never taught that at school or in religious education. We had to be faithful to our husbands later on in life, faithful to our friends, faithful to God. Who ever told us that, number one, I have to truly honor myself first and be authentic with me, find that presence of quiet, deep peace in me first? This is what I'm teaching for people sitting with the dying. They say, what do you bring? I say, the whole of your life You're bringing all of your life. And in this wholeness of your life is the presence that you give yourself, number one. If you're not present to yourself, you will not be able to sit with the dying and offer that presence from the universal heart. And so it's, yeah. Sorry, Peter.
No, I'm sorry I'm interrupting. No, I tend to do that. I have to bow to that in myself because I'm so self-critical of that. But I was thinking of the best word that goes along with presence is surrender. Mm. How do you like that?
Well, there again, you see, there is the premature surrendering and there is the premature presence, which a lot of people talk about. I talk about premature forgiveness, premature grief, premature everything, premature surrender. And it's a beautiful word because it means I hold nothing in my hands. I hold nothing in my mind. I hold nothing. I hold no judgments of anything. I am totally free. Okay, if you're totally free, why are you worried about next week and the future? Oh, well, that's the future. If we are totally free, we are present. And then in that presence is the surrendering to what is. I don't have to worry about anything. Why would I? Mostly when I'm worrying, if I did worry, it would be somebody else's business I'd be minding, not my own. Maybe a member of the family. Why is he doing this and why is she doing that? Leave them alone, Phyllida, and mind your own business. Or it will become unfinished business for your children's children to carry.
Right, ancestral genes that keep repatterning.
That's right. That's right.
So this is so important to understand, you know, how to surrender, because it's really about more about presence, I guess, than anything. Which is that's a word that we can really kind of learn to groove with.
we have to grow into surrender. I mean, surrender is that movement where I've got my hands extended and my heart open, that everything that happens to me, love has ordained it. How could it be tragic? How could it be awful? Surrendering to what? To a person, to a belief, to a system? No, I'm surrendering to love.
Right. And as much as you are a Celtic teacher, this is also very Taoist.
Well, you see, truth is truth is truth. It doesn't matter what we call it.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right. And even the Bhagavad Gita is all about surrendering to who we need to be and not, you know, complain about it, but really to exalt it. In it.
To feel it, to live surrender and not think about it and have a cognitive answer for it. This is surrender definition. Now, how do you live surrender today? How do you live surrender in this moment? Huh? Mm. How about
you? Wow. Yes. But we need to also surrender to the length of the show. And we're getting near, slightly near the end. I just want to make sure that people know who I'm speaking with and what this great book you've written, among others. This book is called The Last Ecstasy of Life, Celtic Mysteries of Death and Dying. It's really of life and dying. And so you are such a proponent for life. And it's even the life of dying. And
I say to people, I'm living my life fully so that I may die my death fully and really be conscious of every wonderful adventure after my breath goes to the divine back in again. That, for me, is beautiful. So I can die at any moment, knowing that I'm going into an ecstasy of the divine waiting for me.
I love that. And that's so true, is that we're not taught about death properly.
No, we're not. We have to live that and learn it. Yeah, unfortunately, we're not taught.
You know, after death is in many ways is going home, and so you know, I'm looking forward to going home, although I don't want it to happen too soon. because I love being here.
You'll know your timing and you'll know exactly how old you're going to be. This is a meditation we do about death and dying and what we're handing on to our children from our own unanswered calls to life. What's my unfinished business? But I know exactly when I'm going to die and who's going to be there, who I'm going to allow in the room with me. It's lovely to know that until then, I'm going to live fully. Now, my living fully and totally fully can be sitting here looking at the fire. That is full surrender to life. That is full surrender to love. That is fully living my life. I'm not going to go out and party. That's not what I need. That's the fullness of life for younger people who have got the energy and the excitement and the wish and the need to express through the body so much.
Sure.
I still express through my body. It's wonderful. I'll do it slower dance, but it's still the fullness of life.
So that's wonderful. Philida Onam Air, you're amazing to speak with wisdom. And I just love
I'm just an Irish her. Granny. We learn all this as children from our grannies. So there you are. I'm an Irish granny.
I love that.
Pretending to know.
Good. Let's keep enjoying our pretending.
Yes, Peter, let's just do that. And you do it as well.
Yes.
Just enjoy every precious moment. It's so important. And you're a beautiful grandchild.
Thank you.
You know, what a teacher, what a little Buddha.
Oh, I know. Such joy.
Yes.
So, again, thank you for being an energy steward. I'm looking forward to another conversation with you. And you know, because you're...
Great.
So when,
well, at the moment, I'm writing about children, how to be with children who are dying. And this is a great grace because I've learned it from children, how to be with them. I didn't know how to do
it. I love that. That's very helpful, very important.
It is, yeah.
Okay, thank you again.
Okay, Peter, all the very best to you. Much, much love from my heart.
Thank you, and love back to you.
And
this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much. And by the way, I'll also post a link to how to find Philida on the internet, right?
Thank you. Much love. Bye.